voting for the SU election has now opened. URN has all the information that you will need to make a well-informed choice about who to vote for in this year's student leader elections. Voting closes at midday on the 17th of March, so be sure to make your vote count. Stay tuned to the Pulse on URN from 5 till 6 every evening for our award-winning coverage before the night itself on the 17th of March. You're listening to Question Time on URN.
Good evening and welcome to this special edition of Question Time on URN The Pulse. My name is Joe Tanner. First of all, I'm delighted to be joined by Adam Pratchett, who is currently the only SU candidate running for the position of sports officer next year. So first of all, Adam, I'm just going to get started on that very question. You are the only candidate running this year. There were four or five people running last year. How do you feel about running on a post?
It's definitely an odd situation. I wasn't expecting it whatsoever. I think there were lots of good potential candidates who were considering running. And then in the end, for whatever reason, they either decided to run for a different position or didn't run at all. So I wasn't expecting it, but it means that I have to campaign just as hard. I don't want to be complacent here at all. I want to make sure that, you know, I engage as many students as possible. So that's always been the aim.
What do you think it says about student participation that nobody else ran for it?
Well, I think that the obvious candidates who I was aware of that were going to run simply decided that they had other job offers, and that was the reason why. I think that sport has always been a very competitive position to go for. And you said, you know, previously it's been, you know, five, six candidates have always gone for it. And it's just an odd year, I'd say.
Now, just turning to your manifesto, within your sporting committee experience at the university, you've been the vice chairperson of the Welfare and Sport campaign from December of last year. On your manifesto, There's a section of things you'd like to change within that field, such as mental health training for all captains and coaches, a lobby to increase investment in mental health services, working with the Welfare and Sport committee to expand inclusive sessions, and increasing participation in sport at all levels. How do you envisage, firstly, approaching the issue of mental health with coaches and captains? Do you see it as a lack of awareness on the issue of mental sports within sports clubs?
Well, I think the clubs are becoming increasingly aware of that. And the reason for this idea of mental health training for all captains and coaches is, for me, and I know other clubs have found the same, that ultimately within your club, at the moment, at least one person is trained in mental health. That's part of the committee training that you have. But ultimately, particularly for first years, you ultimately come in contact more with your captains and your coaches. So the idea being that there's someone who is there, who as a fresher you're able to talk to more directly. That's the reason why I think we're becoming increasingly aware of it, and it's great that the kind of culture is changing around that, but just about helping clubs, you know, go that way.
Do you think that you could potentially encounter some difficulties with pushing for the increased investment in mental health services at the University of Nottingham? And if you were to succeed, what would you like to see the money invested in?
So I think I've used the mental health services myself, counselling in particular. I think most people who have used them or tried to use them know that when it comes to anywhere near exam periods, you try and book an appointment to see somebody and the waiting time is about, you know, a month or so. So effectively, you're not going to be able to see anybody. I met with the Chancellor of the University a few weeks ago when he was here for a visit, and we mentioned to him, you know, the need to increase investment, and he sounded very positive on that. I think that it's about, in terms of what the money would go towards, it's making sure we have enough staff available to actually have appointments to meet students. That's the main thing for me, making sure we invest in the right things.
Now, as well as staff shortages, which you touched upon there, there's also been a massive oversubscription to the mental health services at the university recently. How do you look to overcome those boundaries?
I think it's down to people becoming more aware, and also are more aware of the services available and want to get help. And if I was elected as an officer, I want to make sure that those people are able to. I mean, anyone who's experienced mental health knows that the first step, the hardest step, is to actually ask for help. And I want to make sure that we're actually able to do that and say, as a university, we have people in place for you and you don't have to wait a month to see them.
Now, just turning to another aspect of your manifesto changes, which you'd like to implement, the increased levels of participation. Currently, 14,000 students have sports memberships at the university, plus another 3,000 or 4,000 that are involved in the IMS programme. How do you look when considering that the university wants to have half of all university students at the University of Nottingham involved in sport by 2020? What strategies will you look to employ to increase this already very admirable figure?
I think that a lot of it is down to awareness of the sporting offer we have. And so as part of becoming a candidate, you're given a candidate booklet, which is full of figures and so on. And one of the things on there is that, particularly for sport, is that students want to get involved in sport, particularly IMS and Engage, but don't know how to. So for me, it's about making sure those students know how to get involved in sport, and that would be done through video releases. So right now, our sport videos that are on YouTube and so on are about 2 or 3 years old, and they include all the old facilities. So for me, they need to be re-updated, largely on social media, just to get the message out there. I think that the new Dover Ross Sports Centre is a great attraction to that, and we're definitely seeing an increase every year. And with the new membership that's come in, that's also seen an increase in membership increase. I think it's going to happen, definitely.
You touched on the David Ross Sports Village there. Yeah. At URN, we recently conducted an investigation into the price of participation sport at the university, with the price of sports memberships increasing quite significantly this academic year. One of the findings we found from that is the issue of Sutton Bonington, who have an inferior degree of access to the David Ross Sports Village, yet have to pay the same membership price as everybody else. Do you sympathise with their qualms, and what will you look to do as an SU officer to try and address them?
Well, I completely sympathise with them. I've been to Sutton Bonington a few times for training sessions throughout the past kind of 4 years. And I was there this week as well, meeting with presidents of sports clubs. I completely agree that £200 is obviously a lot of money for them to pay. The facilities that they have, particularly the gym in particular, is far too small. A lot of them work 9 to 5, and when it comes to kind of 5 o'clock time, they have to queue up for the gym. In terms of the membership price with Sutton Bonington, I understand it's a really big issue, and I want to kind of work on that. I know Lauren's worked on it a lot this year. At the same time, I know the university have a very clear policy that we're all one university and therefore we should pay the same. I don't necessarily agree with that, and I'd like to kind of push that again if I was elected, to say, look, you know, this is an issue of how fair is it. But I think I haven't put it in the manifesto deliberately, and I don't want to make any kind of false promises, because it's obviously a very difficult issue. But what I would like to see if I was elected was some increased investment in Sutton Bonington, in the gym in particular. So new gym equipment that's coming in. Right now they only have one squat rack, they need some more free weight area, and making sure that actually happens. And, you know, Dave Ross was built and it's still ongoing as a build, and that's been the priority for the sports department. But for me, if I was elected, I'd say, right, okay, we need to make sure that this happens. And yeah, that's what I would probably do.
Another one of our findings that we discovered from the investigation was the issue of students having a kind of sceptical view of the sports memberships at the university, and kind of not really realising that what they're paying for is more than just a facility, for example. Do you think, along with Lauren Harry, the current sports officer, that there needs to be some sort of education about what the sports membership goes towards and how it is paid and what the money is being paid for?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, you know, for me with the video releases in particular, I think students don't necessarily know what actually comes with the membership. I mean, we call it a gym membership, but it's a sport membership. It has so much involved with it. I'm not sure how many students know that as part of your membership, you can have a free personalised gym plan done for you with the sports centre staff there. There's so much that comes with it, and we need to communicate that better to students and make sure they know what they're getting. In terms of the price of membership, I want to, you know, address this quite clearly. I understand it's a really big issue for students, and it's not in the manifesto. I've met with Dan Tilley on a number of occasions, who's the director of sport. I said to him, look, you know, this is a big issue. How are we going to deal with it? What's his kind of view on it? And so he said to me that ultimately that the price of membership will not be going down. They've kind of seen every metric they want to see in terms of increasing uptake in membership to justify the kind of the current price that it's at. But what I've seen is, well, how can we make it easier for students to pay? So he said to me, well, there are two options. First is a direct debit. I'm not in favour of that. The reason being, because on a pay monthly system, which is a system whereby you can cancel, the price would have to go up. And I know that James Bramley, who's a former sports officer, did a lot of work on membership in general. And the top metric that came out was everyone wanted, you know, the best price possible. And then it was facilities for number two. So the other option, separate from a direct debit, is a recurring card payment. Same principle, but whereby you pay on your card once, and then at pre-arranged times, the money is taken from your account. And that's what I'm in favour of. But the issue is, as Dan Tilley said to me, was that they're still checking how feasible that is. You know, there are 12 to 14,000 sport members. That's a lot of people to process payment-wise. So the point being for me is that if that becomes available and they say this is feasible, then I'll put all my effort into making sure that happens. But I didn't want to make a kind of false promise and make people feel like they were being ripped off by me, effectively.
Now, just turning back to your manifesto, there are a couple of proposals which seem particularly vague, one of them being expansion of focus groups within clubs. So Sutton Bonington, Engage, IMS, Disability Sport and Gym Users. What are your kind of aims and proposals with that?
So this year, Lauren introduced focus groups, which were effectively only for sports clubs, and they were sit-down sessions with a small group of people, approximately kind of 15 to 20 sports club representatives, and discussed a variety of issues that they were facing, and it was a much more interactive session. Now, the feedback that I've got from students is that actually that was a really, really beneficial and successful system because they felt like they were able to engage actively with the sports department and get their views across, make sure their voice was heard, and also kind of brainstorm ideas about how to deal with issues. So I'd like to expand that more. So at the moment, they only have one a term. And I want to expand it, as you said, to, you know, start in Bonington as well, make sure their voice is heard. I don't want to be an officer that, you know, you elect me and you kind of, I'm suddenly out of there and you never see me again. I want to be actively engaging with students and elected throughout my time. And the same for Engage, IMS, Disability Sport, and also gym users. I mean, I know that with membership in particular, if you are only paying membership to use the gym once or twice a week, that's a lot of money. And I want to make sure that you have the ability as a gym user to come to some kind of meeting or at least, you know, voice your ideas and your opinions about how we can do things better. So it's about having a more open dialogue, making sure students know what they can get and what we can do for them.
Among some of the other changes that you'd like to introduce is one to improving media coverage at all levels of sports. So you're an Impact at the moment offer reviews of the Bucks Wednesday matches every single week. We also have provided regular coverage of many of the elite sports this year, such as futsal, table tennis, squash and badminton, plus comprehensive varsity coverage and regular club interviews on a weekly basis. What more would you like to see from the media groups in terms of coverage of sport at the university?
Right now, what I'd like to do is, I think that URN, Impact and STV do a great job at coverage already. But what I'd like to do is level the playing field. So if you are a big club or you know whoever is the sport editor for your example yourself, then it's obviously far easier for you to get in contact and say, I'd like to have an article or could you come down and cover a game or so on. What I'd like to do is simply have a sports media group. So on Facebook, you have all of the Impact, NSTV, URN members and also either a publicity sec or someone from your committees or Facebook group. And the idea being that they can post, any society or sorry, any sport can say, we have a game coming this week, we have an event coming up, could you come and cover it? And then you can also say at the same time, we want to do an article on this as an investigation of membership, who would be up for doing it? So it makes it easier for you to get in contact. It simplifies the process, basically.
You're listening to Question Time
on URN.
Now, we're going to resume our discussion on your manifesto, Adam, by just alluding to feedback opportunities. What sort of feedback opportunities, which you mention in your manifesto, do you look to give sports students at this university?
So linking back to those focus groups, sorry, I think that's really important to make sure that people from a range of different sports, so not just our sports clubs, Sutton Bonington as well, and the Engage programme, which is a really increasing programme, I want to make sure that we kind of look to develop that continuously and how we can change things to kind of increase retention. Also IMS, particularly with the societies, I want to make sure that we include all those societies that are getting involved and make sure that they kind of have their voice in how things should be changed. And also disability sport. I think that we're greatly, we're the only university to have a full-time disability sport officer, which is Hannah Weber. And I want to make sure that all students feel like they can get involved in some way to have regular meetings with myself and also people in the sports department so we're more open and accessible effectively. That's my aim, to make sure that we're as open and as accessible as possible and make sure anyone can come and see me and talk to them if I was elected.
Now, just turning to the issue of lecture captures, lobbying for lecture captures on Wednesdays and moving course meetings away from Wednesdays is something that which you mentioned on your manifesto and was mentioned on many of the manifestos last year as well.
Yep.
It was a feature that people mentioned, but something that hasn't as of yet been changed much in the year gone by. What do you look to do and what kind of strategies do you look to employ to getting some concrete change in this area?
So what I'd first say is that I think Beth Massey, the current education officer, has done a fantastic job at actually getting a Let's Capture campaign going forwards. I think this is the best chance we've ever had at a Let's Capture actually happening. And if I was elected, I'd of course continue that if it wasn't successful by the time I was elected in. In terms of what I could do, so as I said, I met the Chancellor a few weeks ago and we discussed this, particularly for scholarship students, the top academic and kind of sporting students, saying that on Wednesdays, particularly also if you're a postgraduate, a lot of your lectures will overrun into Wednesday afternoons. It's kind of an accepted norm for undergraduate, for postgraduate is not the same. So he said, you know, he was quite shocked that as a university, we're really striving to be so sporting, yet we don't have the policy in place that was for, you know, having that kind of Wednesday afternoon really, really clear. And so he said it was quite a simple kind of policy change in his mind, and he was going to talk to the Vice Chancellor about making sure Wednesday afternoons are free. And I think again with the Let's Capture, he was sympathetic to it. You know, he said, you know, the way we learn is changing and universities are having to adapt to particularly increasing distant learning. I think that by having him on board, And there are a number of students there that discussed it with him. I think it's, you know, this is the best chance you've ever had. And I want to make sure that we kind of continue and drive that forwards. I think it once, if I was elected, I think we'll be almost at the verge of it. Beth's done a fantastic job, and I'd like to make sure that actually happens.
It seems to be an area which, as you say, Beth Massey has put a lot of effort into this year, but still needs some degree of improvement when it comes to implementing it. For example, subjects such as history and classics has pledged that they would provide this service but have failed to implement it. How would you go about really forcing the issue to the subjects and the many subjects across the university to employ these lecture captures?
I think it's about working as a team and working with the education officer, whoever that might be, and also with the university higher-ups and, you know, the vice-chancellors, to make sure that, you know, as you said, some departments do have it at the moment, and others don't. I know in particular law are very against it as a department. I think, you know, Beth's released recently a booklet which is about students creating dialogue with their lecturers and, you know, from the ground up saying, look, you know, how can we deal with this? And I think that it's about a non-adversarial way talking with lecturers, understanding their concerns about, for example, the myths around, well, if you have lecture captioning, your attendance will go down and so on. And it's about creating that open dialogue where actually all students can get involved. And then if I was elected, my role would be to obviously encourage that, but also work on the university higher-ups and the vice-chancellors and so on.
Along with one of the other factors you mentioned on your manifesto is the idea of a continued IMS sports day at the university. Could you elaborate on what this is and what you would do to change it?
Sure. So right now with hall sport in particular, in Freshers Week, you'll have your kind of initial sports day. That's usually on the weekend. And that's a really great opportunity for students to get involved. And for me, what sport does is it allows anyone from any background to get involved and to get to know people and to try new things. And what I'd like to do is make sure that in the summer we have a similar idea for hall sports. So you kind of come to the end of your time in halls and you kind of finalise it, and then there we go, you've got an event happening to kind of finish off. They're considering it at the moment, but the reason why it's happening potentially this year is because of the way the Track Ambus Games are working out and whoever's organising that. But I want to make sure that's a regular feature. And also to get involved with other societies. So I was in Singapore for my year abroad, and for them, their IMS equivalent is absolutely massive. And they'll have effectively a two-week period of intense sport competition. And there is such a draw to your hall and your society, and it's incredibly competitive. I like to kind of emulate that kind of success, again, in the summertime when it's nice weather and, you know, everyone can get outside.
Now, the IMS Sports Day is, of course, an initiative that looks to increase the level of participation sport at the university. But just turning briefly to the issue of elite sport, you mentioned participation to a massive degree on your manifesto. But do you feel like elite sport, which you have mentioned to a lesser degree, is currently in a very good state at the university at the moment?
I think so. Recruitment-wise, obviously we have a massive increase in the number of scholarship students that we have. I think that the scholarship programme is still being established. Phil Wood, who's the recruitment manager for the university, has been in post officially full-time for only just over a year. I think there are things that we need to work on, particularly in terms of recruitment with European students. The Americans come over and they're absolutely fantastic. We've had, you know, three or four of them for basketball and they've been great. What I'd like to see is recruitment on a longer-term basis. So rather than having students here for a master's for 1 year, working with students to come here as an undergraduate, and then they can actually develop as part of a programme. I think a lot of sports clubs, those who are at the elite level, want to have some continuity, and they want to have some knowing and being secure that they're going to have a player for a number of years, rather than having one amazing scholar come in for a year and they do such a great job and help improve the culture, then naturally they have to go, they finish their course. So I'd like to see that change, looking to recruit on a longer term basis. I do think elite sport is in a great place. You know, we're doing really well in Bucks, and that's come down to an extent to recruitment, but also as clubs in general, we're really driving to get the best out of all our sports clubs, and the new facilities and increase in allocation is doing a lot of good things.
Now, what successes have you seen with the current sports officer, Lauren Harrier's work this year? And what would you like to continue or change about things that this sports officer has implemented?
So I go back to the focus groups, for example. I think that's been a really, really beneficial thing. And I think a lot of sports clubs have really been grateful for that opportunity, because right now with Sportsman in particular, you have your sports camp, which is a compulsory session to go to for committee members, and it's very much you sit there and you have to listen for a very intense lecture for an hour. I think she's done a great job on that. I think also she's helped a lot with the smaller sports clubs. I want to make sure that if I was elected, that I was there for all sports teams, not just those who are the classic big ones like basketball in particular, but there for everyone else. And also I think that, you know, she's worked really hard on a lot of issues. I know that she worked, you know, to the best of her ability to try and secure membership of a certain Bonington, but that unfortunately didn't happen. But in credit to her, she's worked really hard, and I'm very grateful for her. I think she's helped me out with, particularly with, you know, welfare and sport and also basketball.
Just turning to those positions finally on this edition of the Pulse Question Time here on URN, those positions that you are holding of chairperson of the Welfare and Sport Initiative, as well as University of Nottingham men's basketball president, what have you learned in these roles regarding the organisation of sports, as well as the overall ethos and direction that sport is going in at this university?
In terms of the direction that sport's going, UN Sport have a very clear model of development, so of Engage, Inspire, Excel. And what I've tried to do as a president is make sure as a club we fit into all of those three key pillars. So we've made sure that our Engage programme, which is actually the most successful Engage programme at the university with about 40 members a week, is fully supported. They have a position on our committee. We've expanded our IMS programme, so we now support two teams in IMS in Division 1 and Division 2, and of course we help volunteer with the IMS programme itself. And then finally with Excel, obviously we do a lot for recruitment, I've invested a lot in promotion, so I work with Leah Lightfoot quite a lot, particularly with Varsity as well, to make sure that's as big as possible, because it's actually, we believe, the largest university basketball event outside of the United States. So I'm working with GB Basketball right now to invite them to come down. So with that in general, I mean, we fit the holistic model, we're actually trying to do the best we can to fit all of that and make sure we drive forward. So I understand the direction the director of sport want us to go. In terms of welfare and sport, what I've learned is the importance of being inclusive. I think a lot of people want to get involved in sport, but for whatever reason, concerned, and necessarily might not want to. You know, there's a fear of a sports culture or whatever. And for me, it's about making sure that our clubs are as open and as inclusive as possible. And that's, there's been definitely a massive change in culture, so I'm really glad that's happened. And then in general, as an experience or as a skill perhaps for being a sport officer, and I'm on two committees for different things. I'm also effectively a master's student, and so I'm having to manage all three of those things, you know, get my degree done and manage two committees. A lot of work to balance, and that's what I'd say is a key thing. I've been here for 4 years, got a lot of experience for it, and if I'm able to juggle what I'm doing right now, I'd like to think I do a good job as sports officer.